This audio recording is a service of Incarnation Catholic Church, a Roman Catholic parish of the Personal Ordinariate of the Chair of St. Peter. We invite you to visit us in person in Orlando, Florida, or on the web at www.incarnationcc.org. We thank you for listening. The following homily was preached on Saturday, October 5th, 2024. Votive Mass of the Blessed Virgin Mary by Father William Doc Holliday.
I have spoken unwisely. Things that are above measure exceed my knowledge. May the words of my mouth, the meditation of all of our hearts, be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer, in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen. Those words spoken by Job, the very end of the story of Job, and we all know what that story is, no reason in getting into the details of how horrendous Job's life had been for a period of time. And Job complained about it, and then God showed up and presented to Job not the explicit reasons why he was going through it, but just the fact that it was in accord with God's will that what happened to him. And when Job is confronted with this, these are his words: I have spoken unwisely, and things that are above measure and that exceed my knowledge. We have to approach our lives in the same manner when we look at God's providence. These things that happen to us in this life, it's kind of interesting the way people will approach this. There are folks who, if something that they don't deem is good in their life, and there are many things that from a worldly perspective are horrendous. Like for instance, you know, the recent hurricane, almost 200 people dead at least. And you will have people say, that was not God's will. Well, then whose will was that? Things are out of God's control where 200 people could be killed by something. It's not out of his will. It is his will, not in his decretive will, but in the will of this is the way this world is set up. And there are times, particularly after the fall, when things are not what they should be in this world. It is not idyllic since the fall. We have to appreciate that. And nothing escapes God's will. Then you get other folks who will say that it's God's will when they commit the most grotesque of sins. Well, that's God's will for my life. No, it's not, because he has said in his revealed will that that is an evil thing and you do it anyway. That people are so wishy-washy when it comes to when they appreciate God's will or when they do not. God is omniscient. That is one thing all the omnis, God is omnipotent, omniscient. You know, omniscient is something that it eludes us. It eludes us because we try to put forth what we understand on God, not being able to comprehend that it is God who understands intimately, absolutely everything that goes on in this world. Everything that goes on, everything that is here, he understands it perfectly. He knows how he wants it to work. He has ordered it himself. There is nothing that he misses. Sometimes, you think about these hypothetical examples. Sometimes God knows that a person may be led astray in the future. How can God fix that? He can call a person to himself, maybe what we would perceive as early on in that person's life. Oh, that person was so young when they died. Maybe God knew that if they had more years, maybe they would maybe fall away from the faith. Maybe, so we don't get it. We don't understand. Or the person, the praise for the, you know, some lower, little lower land. I want this new job. You know, I'd get such a raise. I'll do this. I'll do that. God's like, no, because I know you better than you. I know you better than you. And if you get more money, a lot more money, you might be led astray with that whole thing. So what do you don't get the job. God hates me because I didn't get the job. No, as a matter of fact, you didn't get it because he loves you and he knows you. This is God. We just don't like to think about it in the terms that, again, where we don't get it, all of a sudden there's a problem. there's a problem with what God wants to do. We fail to understand. Why do we fail to understand? There's a few things that go on. One, our human pride. We're prideful. And we don't like to, because God works in simple things. We don't like when he works in simple things. Good scriptural example of that is when that real high general from the Syrians come over, and he's a leper, and he's expecting to, he brings all kind of riches. He expects to pay all this money and to get cured by some huge ritual and everything like that. And what does God do? God's prophet, yeah, go wash in that river over there. What? Yeah, he gets all mad and everything. So his servant actually says, yeah, what do you got to lose? You know, we came all the way over here. He doesn't even want your stuff. You're not going to pay you anything for it. He just says, get in that water again. And he gets in the water and he's cured. But his pride, I don't just get in some river. I've come all this way. That's our pride. We're prideful. We have a lot of self-will. A lot of times, again, we don't like to acquiesce to what God's will is because it interferes with our self-indulgence. I like giving myself over to this. I like doing that. Well, it's wrong. I don't care. It couldn't be God's will because I like it so much. What you like and what God's will is completely two different things. It's an apples and oranges proposition. And we've got to watch it because even when, begin using examples of people who kind of try to press against God's omniscience. But even when we accept it, even when people of faith who understand that God's omniscient, even when those kind of things that happen, we try to figure things out. We know there's a God. We know he's omniscient. And we try, I must have done this, or I must have done that, or I might, maybe not. Maybe not. How about this? For instance, something happens to a family member. They get sick or they fall away from the faith and everything. And all of a sudden, because it's hurtful to us, it's like, what did I do? Because this hurts me so bad. And God's up there going, it got nothing to do with you. It's got to do with that person right there. I'm working in that person's life. Yeah. Is there a consequence to you? But that's a secondary issue. But we're not like that. We don't approach things like that. Job was the same way. God loved the heck out of Job. Job's in the position he's in because God bragged on him. God bragged on him. Behold my servant Job. Satan? Yeah, because you give him everything, but if all the stuff was taken away, take all his stuff. His health, everything. Don't kill him. And Job goes through what he's going through. And Job, oh, woe is me. I didn't, then his friends come up. Oh, you must have done this way. I didn't do anything wrong. It doesn't have anything to do with you, Job. It doesn't have anything to do with you, friends. It has to do with me and this little tiff I got going on with Satan here. This is what we understand, that God's got this big grand scheme going on, and we're just like this little part of it. And we should be appreciative of this little part we have. But when we don't get it, we need to let things go and not complain. Like I said, the whole book is Job going back and forth with these friends and Job trying to figure out what God's doing and everything like that. And it's interesting because he doesn't understand. He's in this big tizzy as opposed to just sitting back and letting things pan out however they're going to pan out. He's trying to figure things out. We can't figure God out. You're never going to figure God out. He's got something really bad. It's weird. Like I said, we're weird about it. When bad things happen, we're all weirded out. And then when good things happen, we don't get those either. The gospel today, the disciples, they come back. The Lord's sent them on the mission. They go on their mission. It's been successful. And they come back. What's the first thing that, Lord, even the devils are submit to us in your name? Our Lord's, yeah. Okay, that's like where they're focused. But our Lord goes on, yeah, you should be more happy that your names are written in heaven. That's a whole lot better. But what do they do? They're focused on this worldly authority that they have now. Again, their pride kind of kicks in. This is awesome, man. In Jesus' name, even devils, they're submissive to us. Again, we just don't get it. We don't understand. We don't even understand when God blesses us with something, that we have to understand that it might be fleeting, or there's something to do with that blessing that has to do with the advance of your faith or the advance of other people's faith, and not just all about you. And again, we got to watch this stuff tremendously. Like I said before, when we start talking about God's omniscience, the way he directs things in this world to carry out his purpose. Well, his purpose, what's his purpose? Well, that everybody goes to heaven. That is his will. He wants everybody to go to heaven. But guess what? They're not, because if they did, there wouldn't be a hell. So this is not a matter of God, you know, sitting back and we're little marionettes and he just takes us by a ring in the nose and drags us into heaven. That is not how he works. That is not how he works. God directs all things in this world to fulfill the purposes of his glory. His glory. He is glorified in his grace and mercy when a sinner comes to repentance and goes to heaven. But he is also glorified in his justice and righteousness when the sinner who will not repent goes to hell. Both of those glorify God. And that is his purpose. His own glory. This is what it's all about. We need to take a lesson from Job when we're confronted about the way God works in this world. We've got to sit back every now and then and look and go, I have spoken unwisely. I've tried to figure things out, and I thought this and I thought that, but I have determined that that was not the case. I have spoken unwisely because his ways are not my ways. His thoughts are not my thoughts. His ways are as high above heaven as above the earth. We don't understand him. He's God. We're not. He's infinite. We're finite. He's the creator. We're the creatures. He is the potter. We're the clay. We've got to understand that. And when we have that proper perspective, we can sit back. And when we deal with things in this world, it comes to this point where Job is. So we just go, I get it. Not in, I get what you're doing. I get it that I don't get it. I get it that you're God and I'm not. This is Job. Job's dropped the ball on a couple things, a couple statements that he's made, okay? Because he's frustrated, he is hurting, and God expects that. God expects that from us. He knows our frame. He knows what we're dealing with. But we need to understand that sometimes our approach to it is just like Job's, it's misguided. Although sincere, we can be very sincere the way we approach things and trying to figure them out, and that's fine. But sometimes you're just not going to figure them out. Today's the first Saturday, the Blessed Virgin Mary. She is probably she is the prime example of this whole concept. The Annunciation, the Blessed Virgin Mary, I don't get it. She what does she do? She asks questions. How could this be? I don't have a husband. Did the Blessed Virgin Mary get it? No. She just, be it unto me according to thy word, her fiat. This is what God wants. He wants our fiat, you know, because the Blessed Virgin Mary's life took from a human perspective, a serious downturn from this point on in her earthly life. But during that whole time, when all this downturn's happening, what is the Blessed Virgin Mary doing? She's pondering things in her heart. She doesn't understand them, but she's thinking about them. She doesn't shake her fist at God. She just does his will to the point where she accompanies her son to the cross when all his apostles run away from him. She is there with him, standing at the foot of the cross. I'm absolutely sure there's probably never more pondering going on in the Blessed Virgin Mary as when she's watching that. So the Blessed Virgin Mary, she acquiesced completely to God's will because as her life unfolded, she like, yeah, I thought this was going to be a whole lot different. The whole Messiah coming and saving his people, Israel and everything. I mean, from the get-go, you know, she brings the child to the temple and Simeon the priest. Yeah, this is the Messiah. God, let thy servant depart in peace, for mine eyes have seen thy salvation. And then in the same breath, he is going to be for the uprising and the downfalling of many in Israel. Blessed Mary. I thought the Messiah was supposed to save everybody. And no, he will be for the downfalling of many in Israel. This is just God's will in his omniscience to glorify himself. So, you know, we got all these Bible stories, but I mean, when we kind of personalize it, as life unfolds, And the longer you live, the more it unfolds, the more the word vicissitudes sounds very really kind of a flowery kind of word. But vicissitudes of life, the changes in life, it is not just any change. They are generally unpleasant or unwelcome. These are the vicissitudes of life. And when they come, we have to acquiesce to God's providence. This is a very, very difficult thing. But God will appreciate the heck out of it if you do. Job endured things that are really kind of incomprehensible for us to think about. That many bad things could happen to you. I mean, the man is proverbial for when bad things happen to people in succession. The person's like Job. The guy's name is synonymous with bad stuff. But after he endures all that, what happened? He gets double possessions. So many people look at that and they look at it from a material perspective. Well, that was probably how pretty cool how God paid him back for doing that. He gave him double the stuff that he took away from him. It really doesn't have anything to do with the material possessions. What he's trying to communicate is God thought twice as much about Job after he endured those things, even complaining, after he endured those things, God thought twice more about him. He considered him a much better man than he was before. And the man before, he bragged on him. So he is loving the heck out of Job because Job dealt with this, although grudgingly. Our Lord Jesus Christ, he's God's eternal son. Our Lord Jesus Christ, he's hanging on the cross. He had told his disciples three times that we know of in great detail that was going to have to happen to him. He says it nonchalantly. As a matter of fact, yeah, the Son of Man's got to be handed over to evil men, crucified, third day, rise again. And while he's hanging on the cross, my God, why have you forsaken me? I mean, he's accusing the Father of forsaking him because in his humanity, he is absolutely overwhelmed with his condition. And what does he get for that? Because he acquiesced to God's will, he's got a name that is above every name. He's exalted at the right hand of the Father. He's exalted because of his obedience. The Blessed Virgin Mary, Our Lady of Sorrows, in this world, who'd want to be her? No one. No one would want to be the Blessed Virgin Mary. And now she's the Queen of Heaven. She's the Queen of the Universe. She's Queen of Angels. Because why? Because she acquiesced to God's will. She gave her fiat. We need to look at things from an eternal perspective. This is what God's all about. This is what our Catholic life is. As we go through this life, we are more and more supposed to do as St. Paul says, keep our eyes on things above and not on things below. We do not, should not, cannot overemphasize externals. No matter how long they may last, no matter how bad they may be, we cannot overemphasize them because of our Lord's words at the end of that gospel. No matter what happens, if it's good, a blessing, like demons being subject to you, or if it's bad, like what Job got, our Lord says, rejoice in this, that your names are written in heaven. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen.